Luke chapter 19. Now, look at verse 10. We're going to look at the first 10 verses here, but Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is where we'll find the title of the message for this morning. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and to save that which was lost. Look, beginning with verse 1. Here we read that Jesus entered in and he passed through Jericho. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, let there be no mistake, he seeks his people before they'll ever seek him. And he's passing through Jericho. He's on the trail. You read about that. His sheep. He's on the trail of one of his sheep here, Zacchaeus. And we read that he passed through Jericho. You know, not a word of mercy, not a word of grace, not a word of salvation to any here, but Zacchaeus. He passed through Jericho. Now there's one though, isn't there? Zacchaeus, there's one. God's distinguishing grace. And just as there was one when the Lord, back there in the Old Testament, remember when he destroyed Jericho, there was Rahab. There was Rahab, that scarlet lion. Rahab didn't perish. Rahab and her family were saved. And I was thinking, that the Lord would not pass us by this morning. That he would not pass us by. That he would see fit to be among his people. To be present with us. Verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now this is what we know about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. He was a rich man. Our Lord, speaking over in Matthew 18, speaking of one who was exceptionally wicked, he said this: let him be as a heathen and as a publican. That wasn't to be called a publican was not a compliment by any means. And we also read that Zacchaeus was a rich man. What do the scriptures say? They say that if we read, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then reading in our text, we see that the people of this town were upset because our Lord was guest of this man. They said that they were upset that he was guest of a man that was a sinner. Zacchaeus, that was his reputation among those folks in that town. He was a sinner. And if I count them up right there, that's three strikes against old Zacchaeus, right? Huh? But listen, is there any case too hard for our God? Huh? This publican. And listen, he was chief. It says he was chief among the publicans. He was a rich man. He was a sinner, a reputation among the people. In verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was small of stature. And he ran before and he climbed into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. Our Lord's going to pass that way. And here we see the Spirit of God directing Zacchaeus' path that day. Think about that. Of all the places he could be, he's got to be there. He's got to be up in that sycamore tree. His steps, just like all of God's sheep, ordered of God. And this sycamore, I was thinking about this. My brother-in-law, we live kind of in the bottom. And my brother-in-law and his son, they live up above us. And there's this big hillside. And they keep that mowed. And there's all kind of oak trees up there. And I think over the years, I wonder how many oak trees have been cut down. Big oaks that have been cut down. We can go up and count the stumps. But I also wonder How many of them little saplings have been mowed over the years? Meaningless little saplings that would grow into an oak tree. Boy, this sycamore tree, it's not, when it was a sapling, it's not going to be chopped down, is it? Huh? Our Lord, that sycamore tree's got to be there, because Zacchaeus is going to be in that tree when the Lord passes by. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Our Lord worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Even something as simple to us as a tree. But that tree's going to be there. And look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, He came to the place. He looked up and He saw him and He said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today. Today I must abide at thy house. He came to the place. The place. God knowing all things. He knows where men dwell. He knows the time that He'll call upon them. He came to Peter and James and John and the woman at the well. He sent Philip to that eunuch. He came to the place and He looked up and He saw him and He called him by name. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. He knows his sheep by name, doesn't he? He called him by name. And listen, he's known Zacchaeus from the foundation of the world. He's known Zacchaeus just as He's known all of His sheep from everlasting. His name written in the book of life. Listen, Zacchaeus was given to Christ by the Father. He was given to Him. Zacchaeus, like all those given to Him by the Father, not one of them, not even one, will be lost. And He tells Zacchaeus, He says, you make haste. Make haste and come down. Make haste. Don't delay. This thing of salvation, it's urgent. It's an urgent matter. You know, when Philip was sent to that Ethiopian eunuch, we read that he ran to him. He ran to him. He ran thither. Why wouldn't he? If someone's hurt, if someone's injured, and they need help, we run to them, don't we? Huh? It's urgent. This is a matter of life and death. Can you imagine? Remember those old cities? Remember those cities of refuge back there in the Old Testament? And if two fellows were out working in the woods and the head of that axe fell off and hit him and killed him, that manslayer's coming. But those cities of refuge, they were set up. They were set up in places that were, the path was to be cleared. They were to be easy to get to. They were to be well marked. Can you imagine somebody doing that and then just kind of dawdling along, walking to the city of refuge? No. They're going to run just as fast as their feet will carry them. Huh? Must be in that city of refuge. Got to get there. Listen, make haste. Make haste. Come down. And He says, come down. We need to be humble, don't we? Humble yourself. And listen, that word come down, that's a command, isn't it? Huh? Our Lord is not a beggar. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus, would you mind coming down here? Zacchaeus, if you'll take that first step, I'll help you out of the tree. Zacchaeus, no. Please come down. No, He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. It's a command. It's a command. And make haste. Make haste to Christ our refuge. Christ our righteousness. Christ our peace. We come to Him for pardon, for life, for salvation. Oh, make haste to Him. And the people, look at verse 7. When they saw it, when they saw this, they murmured. Huh? They all murmured, saying that He was going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. The Pharisees murmured that Christ would be guest to a sinner. But my friends, isn't that who Christ came to save? Isn't that what the Scriptures declare? He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. over in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I'm the chief. I am the chief. And listen, here in our text, the Lord's going to save a chief, isn't he? He's going to save the chief of the publicans. They may have murmured. Oh, but listen, we read earlier in verse 6 that Zacchaeus wasn't murmuring, was he? Oh, no. He received him joyfully. Oh, what relief. What relief. Probably the initial reaction was, oh, he's speaking to me. Oh, but he speaks in mercy and pardon. What relief must have filled old Zacchaeus' heart when the Lord spoke to him and said, come down. I must abide with you. Over in Luke 15:10. And listen, this joy, we read in Luke 15:10, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, there's joy in the sinner's heart, and there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. We're received joyfully. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now back to our text. Look at Luke 19, look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Boy, there's a new name there, isn't there? Huh? Zacchaeus, if you look back there, he was looking for a man named Jesus. That's what we hear around this world, isn't it, huh? People talk about Jesus, but the Lord was revealed to him. He found the Lord. He said this. He said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, he said, I'll restore him fourfold. Now, here we see some evidence that Christ now dwells in this man, Zacchaeus. Evidence of salvation. In chapter 18, remember that rich young ruler? There was a rich young ruler, and he asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And our Lord told him, he said, obey the commandments. And that fellow had the nerve to say, well, I've done that. I've done that. I've obeyed the commandments. I've done that from my youth up. And the Lord said, he met him where he was. When he said, you go and sell everything you have, and you give it to the poor, and then you come and follow me. And how did he go away? Oh, he went away sad, didn't he? Because he had great possessions. But here, old Zacchaeus, we see him, he's rejoicing. We see him repentant. We see him restoring that which he had taken. Not to do some great work. Not to do some great work of salvation. But listen, as a result of God's grace in the heart. This is a new man. This is a new man. This wasn't a condition of salvation. This was evidence that the Lord had been merciful to this man. Huh? A new heart. You can't hide Christ dwelling in a man. Huh? A new heart. Old Zacchaeus has passed from death to life. Well, look at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, this day has salvation come to your house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to your house. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, he is my salvation from beginning to end. Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ, who is my salvation. A sinner is delivered by Christ and Christ alone. Today is salvation come to thy house. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself as our surety, as our substitute. And he bore our sin. He bore the penalty of our sin. He bore the condemnation of our sin, the judgment of our sin. He bore the wrath of God, the wrath of God, allowing Almighty God to be both just and justifier of those that were lost. Even a great sinner like old Zacchaeus. Let me ask you, do you know any great sinners? Huh? Do you know any that are lost? Boy, we don't have to look too far to find one, do we? Huh? Well, there's good news, though, isn't there? Huh? There's grace for the guilty. There's mercy for the miserable. There's salvation for sinners. Huh? God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, verse 10. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want us to see just quickly three things here, huh? First, we read of the Son of Man. Our Lord declares Himself. He says, I'm the Son of Man. You know, there are many names He could have used to have described Himself. He's the true God. The Scriptures declare Him as the true God, the only true God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And then what that angel said, call his name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He's our prophet. He's our priest. He's our king. He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. You know, men get hung up on titles, don't they? Men love titles. Our Lord over in Matthew 23, He spoke to some people. Turn there with me. Turn with me to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, look beginning with verse 1. Matthew 23. Jesus spoke to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say, and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be done. And they lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost room at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greeting in the market. And to be called of men rabbi. That's what men want to be called, rabbi. Be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what our Lord, He made Himself a servant. He said, He that is greatest among you, he'll be your servant. Luke 19, verse 10, our Lord declares Himself to be the Son of Man. Turn with me to a few more scriptures. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look, beginning with verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Over in 2 Corinthians, I'll just read it to you. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ, he declared himself the Son of Man when he spoke of his death on the cross. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now back to our text. He's the Son of Man. He was made a man. Almighty God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Son of Man. Second, he came to seek and to save. He came with a purpose. He came to do something. Huh? He came to seek and to save. When that angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, that angel spoke unto Mary and said, he's going to have a son. Call his name Jesus. We read that earlier. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You know, it doesn't say he came to seek and make men savable. It doesn't say he came to seek and let men accept him. It doesn't say he came to help men save themselves. That he came to seek those that would walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, does it? No. It says he came to seek and to save. That work is all of his. Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save through his death and his substitutionary work. Man contributes nothing, does it? I take that back. Man does contribute one thing: sin. Huh? That's all we bring to the table. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Turn over just a couple books to Acts chapter 4. Look, beginning with verse 1. Acts 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them at hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, these religious folks, and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And let's hear verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Huh? Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the sovereign Savior. Listen, he can save us, or he can pass us by. He can give me life, or he can withhold it as God. In Luke, we read it. Remember that leper? Remember that leper? That man that was, the scriptures say he was full of leprosy. a picture of sin. And he fell at the Lord's feet and he said this, "Lord, if you will, if you will, you can make me clean. I have no merit. I have no worth. There's nothing in me. Nothing in me but leprosy. I contribute nothing." What did the Lord do? He put forth his hand and he touched him and he said this, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He came to seek and to save. And of those he came to seek and save, he'll get every one of them. He's not going to lose one. He'll not fail nor be discouraged. You know, I can remember as a kid playing, we'd be at my grandparents' house and we'd play hide and go seek. And sometimes you just kind of gave up. And you walk around and tell them, come on out, I can't find you. Boy, not our Lord. He's not going to miss one. Not going to miss one. He knows every one of them. He knows them by name, and he'll find them. Over in John chapter 6, turn to John chapter 6. Turn back there for a minute. John chapter 6. Look, beginning with verse 37. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. I'll lose nothing. And I'll raise it up again at the last day. Back to Luke. Back here in Luke. Luke 19. Look at verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Who'd he come to seek and save? The Son of Man. He came to seek and to save. Who did he come to seek and save? That which was lost. That's my third point. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, there are, in our day, there are very few people that are lost. Isn't that true? Part of the problem is men will not declare that boldly, unapologetically. Men are lost. Men will not declare man's sinful condition in the sight of Almighty God. So-called preachers have refused to declare man's sinful state. What we truly look like before Almighty God, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. When Adam fell, every son of Adam fell with him. God's words declare this, that we are dead in trespasses and sin. We're not just bruised up. We didn't just trip. We're dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. Ruined. Utterly ruined by the fall. Preachers want to talk about God's love. You drive down through here, I'm sure half the billboards out there are talking about, and I'm thankful for God's love. But that's not the love they're talking about. They're saying God loves everybody. They put it on bumper stickers. Smile, God loves you. My friends, our Lord's speaking to the Pharisees. He said, you've neglected the weightier parts of the law. That's what we've done. We've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Things like judgment, mercy, faith, judgment. Why did God nail his son to the cross? Because of sin. How awful. How awful must sin be that God would nail his son to the cross? Sin must be punished. It has to be punished. Why will men not come to him for mercy? Huh? Why will men not fall down at his feet as mercy beggars? They don't need it. They don't need it. That need has not been revealed to him. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Or if we're going to have life, we must come to him. Over in John 16:8, it says, when he has come, he will reprove. He will convince the world of sin. That word reprove, it means to convict them of sin. It means to tell them of sin. It means to punish that sin, to call it to account, to bring it to reckon it. Huh? And we've been, my friends, we've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Huh? We can't even admit, or at least I can't, when I take a wrong turn on vacation. Huh? Isn't that true? I remember having the boys be like, I don't remember going this way before. We're just gonna try a different little more scenic route this time, huh? Can't even admit when we've taken a wrong turn. And what we've done before God is far worse, huh, than taking the wrong exit. Oh, we're lost. Lost. That parable in Luke, he said, bring in, who did he say to go after? He said, bring in the poor. Bring in the halt. Bring in the maimed and the blind. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. Huh? We need to see our sick and sinful condition. Huh? Our spiritual blindness. David said this. The Lord revealed that to him. That he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Remember the prodigal son? You know, he lived in plenty, didn't he? I mean, if we read that, he lived in plenty. But at some point, and he took what he had and he went out. But at some point, the Lord revealed to him his need. Huh? He said this. He said that the servants in my father's house have bread to spare. And I'm out here. I'm eating a husk of corn. I'm gonna perish with hunger. I'll arise and I'll go to my father's house. I'll say to him, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called a son. I'm a sinner. Oh, and without thee, I'll die in my sin. I will perish in my sin. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 18. You're familiar with this. Look beginning with verse 10 of Luke 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican. We know what a publican is, don't we? The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our Lord said, I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee, he had no need, did he? Huh? What did he? He said, I'm not a sinner. He said, I fast. Huh? I give tithes of everything I have. And I'm certainly not like this man. I'm not like even as this publican. What's he saying? I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. But boy, that publican, oh, he was in need, wasn't he? Huh? He wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. And he smote on his breast right here. That's our heart. That's where the problem is, isn't it? This old wicked heart. He beat on his chest and he said, God be merciful to me. Oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner by birth. A sinner by choice. A sinner by practice. Huh? It's what... Listen, and if left in my sin, that's where I'll die. I'll die in my sin. But listen, if Almighty God is pleased to reveal to us our condition before Him, I know this. We'll know this. If He's pleased to reveal it to us, we'll know this. I have no righteousness. I have no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm dead in trespasses and sin. If He doesn't seek me out and save me, I'll forever be lost in my sin. I'll die, and that's where I'll die, in my sin. Are you lost? I pray the Lord would reveal to us our lost condition. Mm-hmm. Huh? And cause us to know this, that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to seek and to save who? That which was lost. Huh? That which was lost. All right. I pray God would bless His Word to us in here this morning. Brother Lyman.